I know in Sunday school we've been going through the book of Psalms as well, and so I know that you're very familiar with going through them, but as I looked through the different Psalms, I felt this in my heart to preach, but I didn't want to go over any of the Sunday school literature, and I looked through all the lessons, and I didn't see Psalms 91, which kind of confirmed in my heart that I could go this direction, and I just want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Very popular, Psalms chapter 91 is. Everybody, I'm sure, has read it many times. But as you turn there, just let me know when you feel like you arrived. The book of Psalms is a big book, isn't it? Amen. Psalms chapter 91, going to read through verse 6. And this is what it says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Amen. Anybody ever read that before? Amen. Psalms chapter 91. All of us are very familiar with it. But today, with the Lord's help, I want to preach on the secrets of the secret place. The secrets of the secret place. And just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know on this Sunday morning we gather together once again in Your presence. And Lord, I never want to take this lightly, God. I never want to just go through the motions or just come to church because we have a time and a schedule. But God, this is a meeting place with You. This is the church, Father. This is where we come to hear of Your Word. And I know, Father, the great responsibility upon my shoulders that every time I'm out in this pulpit, God, to have a word from heaven. And I would today, God, this will find a place in somebody's heart. Challenge us. Make us what we need to be, dear Jesus Christ. And Father, I know, Father, You're able to help us. Let us feel that anointing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Psalms chapter 91 in the Bible. Oftentimes, if you look in some of the captions of your Bible, you'll see that sometimes this is labeled the hiding place. There's so many different titles that it's referred to when we're reading this great Psalms. And unlike a lot of Psalms, there's about 50 that we know of that we do not know who the author of that Psalms is. And this, my friend, Psalms chapter 91, is speculation who it may be, but this is one of those Psalms that we're not 100% sure exactly. Some believe it was Moses and different ones, but we can all come to agreement on this one fact. God wrote it. Amen. I can't tell you if it was Moses or Solomon, but we do know this, that God did inspire Psalms chapter 91. And of all the Psalms that we read about, there's so many different good ones that we read about throughout the whole entire book there. But we do understand that there's so many comforting words and comforting Psalms that we read about. And Psalms 91 is one of those special Psalms that I believe that many people in the darkest hour of their life has turned there, opened the pages of this great book, and they went to Psalms chapter 91, and they have drew great comfort from these words, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. Words of comfort, words of strength, and there we feel the inspiration of this author as we understand. Martin Luther the Reformer said this, he said he loved this psalm, and he said he turned to it so often because he had so many different troubles. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was not overstating the case when he wrote this. In the whole collection, there's not a more cheering psalm. Its tone is elevated and sustained throughout that God is our protector and God is our provider. Amen. So as we look at this today, I do believe why I am preaching this and while I feel inspired in my heart as I was studying this early last week, because my friend, this was before I heard about that law being passed in the Supreme Court and all of that. And I was praying and just meditating. And I'm glad to know today that there's a place that you and I can go and find strength. Amen. You're not like the world. I want you to understand that. When you are a believer, you are not like those that do not have Christ in many aspects, but especially in this one, we have a place we can go. Have you ever looked at the world and tried to comprehend where in the world do they go? Why do they turn to alcohol? Why do they turn to pills? And why do they turn to drugs? I'll tell you what it is, my friend. They do not know of the secret place. They do not know of the blessed place in Jesus Christ that we can run into as a refuge, as a fortress, as a place of God we can be refortified. And my friend, this is what we need to understand today, that in God there's a secret, a supernatural secret place, and we're going to talk about that with God's help. As we look at this today, my friend, as we look at these first few verses in the Bible, it tells us this: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You would understand this as we look at these first two verses in the Bible. I want you to comprehend this, that the psalmist here is very skillful in what he is saying. He's not just going through different words and wasting statements, but here in these few verses, the psalmist uses four names for God in this one statement, or these two different verses that we read about. My friend, you'll find the words in the Most High. He calls God the Almighty. He calls Him the Lord. And He calls Him God the Creator. He refers to Him as God the Creator. And as we look at these four different names today, what I desire to do in this message, I want to paint a picture to you of a fortress. I want to show you that you got a place that you can go that is secure, that is sure, that is unmovable, that is steadfast. We have a place that we can go. As we look at this first name that the psalmist refers to here, it is the word the Most High. And this word there, when you look at that name in the Hebrew, the Most High means Elyon. It's a word that is used for God. And it pretty much, when you study it in its full context, it means that He is my possession. He is the possessor. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. And that throughout the Bible, you'll find this connection in the name of God, that this world is God's world. Even though we know Satan is turned loose and he's the prince of this world, he is limited in all of his ability. But we know that God, the Father of heaven, He is the God of heaven, and there, my friend, He is the possessor of all. This heaven and the earth. The Bible tells us, swear neither by heaven nor by earth, because the earth is His footstool. My friend, I want you to find comfort in that today. With all the laws that are being passed, with all the things that are going on around us, I want you to understand that this secret place that we're going to, that the Most High, that this fortress that we're going to, that we dwell in the secret place of not only just some Buddha, not Muhammad, not of some frail, wimpy God, but my friend, we go into the Most High. My friend, He's not demoted. He's not going to be kicked off the throne. There's nothing in this world that's going to tell Him to get up and sit down somewhere else. He is still today, no matter what the world tries to do to redefine Him, no matter if they try to make Him like a four-footed beast, no matter if they try to dummy down His name, today our secret place, we are in the shadow, my friend, of the Most High God of heaven. He owns it all, my friend. That is a hiding place. We have a God that owns absolutely everything. You say, Brother Dick, what about provision? We'll get to it. But He owns it all. The cattle on 1,000 hills. Every mountain that's standing today. To the ocean, the fish in the sea. My God owns it all. He is the possessor of this whole entire world. As we look at this, that name there, the Most High, it is the 36 times in the Bible God calls Himself by that name. And my friend, how about that for a hiding place? The second name that is mentioned here is the Almighty. When you study that word, you most likely have heard this name before. And that name there means Shaddai. That name means provision. Someone might say, well, it's very good to know that God owns everything, but what does that have to do with me? It's just like me telling you, I heard a story one time, and see if you can follow me. There was a man one day, he went out and told his neighbor. He said, they just made a deposit at the local bank, $5 million. And his neighbor looked back at him, he said, I don't care. And the man said, why don't you care? He said, because you're missing two words, for me. He said, if you go there and tell me they made $5 million deposit for me, he said, I actually care. What he was saying was this: it's good to know that God's a provision. It's good to know that God is a possessor and owns it all. But what does that have to do with you? My friend, this name there should die, my friend. What that name means of the Almighty, the thought behind that name is embedded and right in the structure that God is not just a living God, but God is a giving God. Not only does He own it all, but my friend, we do understand that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that those things will be added unto you. Not only does He own it, my friend, but He also shares it. He's not stingy. He's not greedy. But I'm telling you, my friend, He loves to share with those that are His children. He is the one that supplies all of our needs. And my friend, this is the thought of provision. The third name that we find here in these first two verses is this. The psalmist calls Him the Lord. When you look that word up, that name means Jehovah. Anybody ever heard that name before? Oh, Jehovah, that name there, what that means. It probably was the greatest name for God among the Hebrew people. He is the God who exists, but also, my friend, He is the great I Am. He's not only a God, but He's the eternal God. He's not only a God, but He's the immutable God. Not only is He God, but He's the unchangeable God. He's omnipresent. My friend, He's a God of promises. He's a God of a covenant. So not only is He a God that possesses it all, not only a God that owns it all, but He's a God that gives, but also, guess what? He's a God that makes promises. Amen. I don't know if that ought to get in you somewhere where you understand God owns it all. Then God wants to give us things, but God's also given me promises. Amen. And the Bible says God cannot what? Lie. Can't fail, can't lie, can't none of these things. If God tells you something, guess what? He's going to do it. Amen. And guess what? He ain't gonna bounce a check, never. When He says something, He will do it. That thought here is He's a God of promises. He is a God that pledged Himself to do certain exceeding great things, wonderful things for His own, things which cannot be done. No, there's no demon in hell that can quit Him from making His promises real to His saints. So if you've got a promise in the Word of God, it doesn't matter what the world does, it doesn't matter when laws get passed, these are the secrets of the secret place. He owns it all. He gives it all. And my friend, He also promises to us. The fourth name that He gives there is simply this: God. When you look that word up in the Bible, it means Elohim. Anybody know what that means? He's God the Creator. Not only, why does He possess it? Because He made it. Why does He give it? Because He is His. How can He promise it? Because He can promise what's His to give to you. Now, how would you feel if I came up to you and said, look, I'm going to give you Brother Neff's money tomorrow? I promise. There's a problem. I got to go to Brother Neff and I got to get some information. But see what it is. I don't possess that, or I don't own His identity. I can't do that. But the beautiful part of a secret place is this: when you dwell underneath the shadow of the Almighty, He owns it, so He can give it. He can promise it. And guess what? He has the power to do it. That word Creator there, Elohim, is found 2,700 times in the Bible. And my friend, the first time you find it is when He's creating it. And if there's something He needs to create, He can do it. He has that much power. And my friend, as we look at this, we must understand that's what our fortress is. We run into this One that is a provider. He is our owner. He is a promiser. He is a creator. My friend, that is something we need to understand. These are the secrets of the secret place. Live for Jesus. Serve Jesus Christ. Keep His commandments. Do what you can. Do the will of God, and you can dwell in the secret place. But then the psalmist takes our minds to his foes, those ones that are against us. He sees His trials here in verse 3. It tells us that this: surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He sees here that His trials are arising from two different sources. First, from a person He calls the fowler, and then He says from a pestilence, which can be disease or plague or sickness. And He says this: surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Now, there was an old gentleman one time. I talked about when he was younger. He said what he would do to catch birds. He said, you know, we'd eat birds. He said, so what I would do And this just gives you an idea. The idea of a snare of a fowler is one that is a crafty hunter. Somebody that knows how to have the craft devices. One that knows how to look at his prey like a bird. And he's looking at him and he's able to set traps. And he's able to sit there and try to deceive them. And this older gentleman said one time what he would do. He said he would take a big old sheet of plywood. And he said he would take a stick and he would sit there and prop that plywood up so it's kind of leaning like that. And he said he would tie a string to that board that was holding that plywood up. And he said he would wait for that bird to begin walking. He said he put some food under there. He said as that bird would walk up that plywood that was leaning like this, he said as he would get closer to it, the bird would start going like this. And he said as he would get, the bird would go lower. He said finally the bird turns around and he's squatting down trying to get that food. And he said I'd pull that stick and it'd land right on top of him. He said we'd eat him for dinner. But he said what I have to do is this. He said, I have to make the bird alter his walk. He said, if I can get the bird to alter his walk, I know I have him. You know what the devil's steadily trying to do every day? He's trying to get you to alter your walk. See, it looks innocent for a few moments as the bird's starting to make that little bit of a tilt. And all of a sudden you find the bird where he couldn't fly off if he needed to. And instantly he's in the trap. So the snare of a fowler is a frequent usage of the psalmist to compare his soul. And his soul is a bird that's being hunted by a man. And there's different ideas about it, but we do understand this. I was reading about this, and as we come across this, that a fowler is somebody that's so sneaky. He knows how to study the nature of his prey. And I'm telling you, my friend, that's what the enemy's doing. He looks at humanity. He studies us. He knows our downfalls. He knows our temptations. And you get this today, my friend, but what the Bible's saying is this, surely He shall deliver me from that. Do you know every day there's something out there somewhere that's trying to get you to alter your walk? Listen, men. The way the perversion of this age is, every day, you got to be on guard. The things that appear to be innocent are not. The things that appear to you say, look, when I don't buy this, I'm telling you little by little if you're not careful. But the Bible says if you're in the secret place, surely He will deliver you. You don't have to fall for them traps. You don't have to go down the road from women to the men. There's so many different things. And my friend, we understand this. Right now the church is in a strait where it seems like the enemy's going to defeat us. But I will tell you this, surely the Lord will deliver us from the traps of the enemy. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, these are the secrets of the secret place. I was reading in a chapter in a book. It was interesting. I forgot the name of the gentleman. Father Chukwe or something like that. It's a unique name. But it was a man that for 50 years he was in the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church. And as he withdrew from that church, instantly he began to preach that you could be saved and you could serve Jesus Christ. And as he did that, my friend, he began to face so much different persecution. With that church there, the Roman Church, was trying its best to make him quit. Was trying his best to kill him. Was trying to get their best to mute his message. But 23 times he was stoned publicly and never died. 23 different times. 18 years he was kept in the hands of sheriffs under bail, a prisoner awaiting suits that were brought against him. 32 times his name was called before magistrates in various cities of different Canada and French Canada. No less than 72 false witnesses were brought against him. But this is what he said in it all, through all the trials that he went through when they were trying to keep him from preaching. He said this, but God be thanked every time from the lips of every witness, we got proof that they were swearing falsely at the instigation of the confessors. God delivered me from the snare of the fowler. He said, trap after trap. They tried to stone me and kill me. They tried to have false witness against me. But he said, I'm standing here preaching because there was no way that they could stop the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, church, they can't stop this message. They may take you to jail. They may persecute you, but they cannot silence the message. Because God will deliver His church. We don't have to fret. God will deliver us. Notice the second thing He said is this. He'll deliver them from noisome pestilence. That word there means a deadly pestilence. And later, that word means almost like a plague or disease. And my word, today that we live in, there's so much going on in the world. Not only politically, I'm telling you, sickness and all these different things that you hear of. And my friend, I know it seems disheartening. And I know sometimes it may seem like we worry. And this verse here, by no means, it doesn't mean that you'll never have a sickness. But I will tell you this, in the secret place of the Most High, there's strength and there's protection and there's provision in whatever avenue that it comes from. You do not have to fear when doing the will of God. You do not have to fear when living for Him. You don't have to fear these things. You can have peace and joy in all of it, knowing that God is able to deliver us. There's a man by the name of Lord Craven. And he was a Christian. He was a nobleman. He was living in London when the plague ravaged the city in the 15th century. And it was eating, it was destroying people by the groves. They were dragging bodies out of houses, children, wives, mothers, and fathers. And this preacher, what he did, Lord Craven, one day, he told his servants, he said, pack all of my bags. He said, I'm going out to the countryside so I can write some things and get away from this plague. And as he was walking down the aisle, as he was walking down the hallway of his home, he overheard one of his servants say this to him. He said, I suppose by my Lord's quitting London to avoid the plague that his God lives in the country and not in the city. He was saying, I guess God's greater out there than He is right here. When Lord Craven heard these words, it was a straightforward and maybe even an innocent remark. But my friend, it struck Lord Craven so deeply that he canceled his journey saying, my God lives everywhere. It can preserve me in the town as well as it can in the country. I will stay where I am. So he stayed in London. He helped the plague victims and he never caught the disease. Why is that, my friend? Our God's even able to deliver us, not only from the enemy, but He's able to deliver us even from diseases. Do you believe that or not? It isn't the will of God that we try to find a corner and say, well, maybe if I stay here, God will come back before all that. No! Yeah, I heard somebody say one time, don't go to Africa, don't go on the mission field. People there are sick. I said, they're sick here too. Don't think just because we have doctors, they know everything. Half the time they say they got a virus, they really don't know. That's a broad term, my friend. Parasites and diseases. Oh, I know these things, my friend. I know they affect the bodies. And I can, once again, let me reiterate, these verses do not mean that you'll never get sick. But God can help you keep your integrity and sustain you through your sickness. I read another story. Charles Haddon Spurgeon ran thousands in his church. Many of you know who that is, Charles Spurgeon. At one time in 1854, when he was in London only 12 months, the area of the city a young preacher lived, there was a certain disease that was going around. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Maybe it starts with a C, but anyway, it was taking lives. And it said he would visit people every day. And some days, it said that he would go to people's houses to visit them. They're laying there dead. He was preaching multiple funerals every single day. And eventually, Spurgeon became so physically and emotionally exhausted and sick at heart that he was ready to sink underneath the heavy load of pastoral care. But as God would have it, one day as he was going home, he passed by the shoemaker's shop, and in the shoemaker's shop window there was a sign hanging up, and it said this: because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High the habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come to nigh thy dwelling. And my friend, it was quoted from Psalms 91. And he said he left there. He held his head up and he said, I'm going to make it and I'm going to be okay, my friend. Read the verses of the Bible. Draw inspiration from it. You can make it, my friend. These are the secrets of living in the secret place, that we're underneath His wings, that we worship the Almighty, that He is the possessor, the provider, the promiser, and the all-powerful. That is the secrets of the secret place. The world don't comprehend this. My friend, these are beautiful words. And he goes on to say this: He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Here contains two appealing images of God's protection. First, a mother hen. And number two, He's our protection, our shield, and our buckler. I read a story, and I, I came across this one time, but it was in a missions in the heart of Africa. A forest fire swept through a bush country, leaving death and desolation and all that was in his path. After the fierce flames had subsided, a missionary took a walk down one of the trails, looking at all the havoc that was wrought. And there, my friend, as he was walking, he came upon a village that was burnt down to the ground. And he said he looked and noticed that there was a mother hen that was charred, sitting there, burnt to pieces. He said it was just sitting there. And he said as he walked by, he was kind of going through the debris, trying to help different ones. And he said when he came past this charred mother hen that was in the middle of the road, he said he went to kick it to the side. And he said as he kicked it to the side, a bunch of baby chickens ran out. And he said, as he saw this, this is the words that he said. He said this. He said, mother love had taught that hen to give her life for her chicks. They had found refuge underneath the flames beneath her feathers. Interesting enough, my friend, we could say the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. When everything was said and done at Calvary, and the Son of Man was resurrected to heaven, we're nowadays able to say that underneath the shadow and the wings of the Almighty, we're still able to live and breathe and have our being. My friend, today we understand this. Hear the psalmist's faith in saying this. Today he's saying this, that underneath his wings we are protected. And just like that mother hen did for them chicks, we understand that Jesus at Calvary, he took the fierce heat of God's judgment. And there, my friend, we're able to live today because of him. I was reading some about this, just interested and intrigued. It says when a mother hen is nestled with her chicks and trying to keep them warm, it says it's one of the most precious places for them to be because they can hear her heartbeat. Thump, thump. And they know that as long as mama's heart's beating, that everything's going to be okay. Can you hear the heartbeat of God, my friends? Our God's not dead. Friday laws were passed. He didn't have a heart attack and gave up the ghost. No, sir. I still hear the heartbeat of God. Every time I read a verse, every time I pray, every time I hear him sing, I hear the thumping of the heart of God. And I know this, he's going to protect us. He goes on to say this, and I won't be much longer. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. The second image that we have, we can recall something very interesting in the Bible. I believe, my friend, my mind goes back to the words to Abraham when Abraham went and fought against the kings of Sodom. And there he brought back Lot and all those different kings. Afraid of retaliation, my friend. This is what God said unto him. He said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your shield. Look that word up. It means crocodile skin. It's the idea of a tough coating of something that you're going to make it and be okay. Look the word up. But then he says this, I am your reward. How about that for a paycheck? I ain't talking about a few measly dollars. How about God being your reward? As we look at these words, his truth shall be my shield and buckler. Follow me on this point, and I won't be much longer. Well, that word there, truth, means this, his stability, his trustworthiness, his faithfulness. So you can read this verse like this, his faithfulness, his trustworthiness is my shield and my buckler. Anytime the enemy comes against you, all you got to say is this, my God's faithful. That's not an isolated statement, which means you just grab your Bible and have to lay in the fetal position and hope you make it. No. It's a living idea that his faithfulness is as a shield to me. The next verses say this, thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, but nor by the arrow that flies by day. How is that? Because of that shield. God's faithfulness alone is your shield. Has he been faithful? When the devil fights against you, church, hear me. Why don't you just tell the devil, I got my shield up. God's faithful. God's faithful. His truth, his trustworthiness is my shield. So my friend, as we look at this day, we can understand this. The secrets of the secret place is this. That nothing is going to happen to you outside of the will of God. That in whatever happens to you, God already knows about it. God already sees it. God already knows what you're feeling. God already knows in your mind. You're going to make it. These are the secrets of the secret place. As my wife gets ready to come to the piano, I want you to get this in your heart, because I just felt this echoing throughout my spirit. That if we can understand this concept, the secrets of the secret place is this. Number one, He's underneath. You're underneath His wings. And number two, His faithfulness surrounds us. Stand to your feet today. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. When you hear that word shadow, what do you think about? I remember when I was younger, as my dad would stand sometimes, my father would stand, and the sun was on that side of him. You could always look down and you see a big shadow. You ever noticed that before? That shadow's pretty big. You know, I can take my hand and hold a flashlight. If it was dark enough in here, my hand would be as big as that wall. Now that shadow's the idea of closeness. God's big, isn't He? I wonder how big His shadow is. God's a big God. I wonder how big His shadow is.